Ogawa is mixed race. In his case, half African American and half Japanese, a native Hawaiian. Something Obama never discloses when discussing Ray in the autobiography. In his interview with the newspaper, Kakugawa said he always considered himself mixed race, but he said he had never been the prototypical black guy Obama portrayed him being. The Tribune further reported that Kakugawa remembered long, soulful talks with the young Obama, and that his friend confided his longing and loneliness. But Kakugawa told the Tribune those talks were not about race, not even close. Barry's biggest struggles were his feeling of abandonment. The idea that his biggest struggle was race is bull. Keith Kakugawa's story after Punahou, as reported by several media sources, was a hard luck one, filled with failure, drug offenses, and a series of prison stays that stretched over decades. The Wall Street Journal found Kakugawa homeless in Los Angeles, just as he was released from a California state prison in March 2007 after a third drug conviction. The Journal reported that Obama received a phone call from his long-lost friend just after coming off the Senate floor to prepare for a primary campaign trip to New Hampshire. Without advance warning, his office patched through to his cell phone a call from Kakugawa. The two had not spoken with each other for some 30 years, not since Kakugawa left Hawaii in 1977. Kakugawa was calling from a payphone in a rundown section of Los Angeles, looking for some help from his now famous friend who was running for president of the United States. According to the Journal report, Kakugawa said his phone discussion with Obama was short, sweet, and to the point. He really acted like he didn't have a lot of time to spend with me. Everybody's just abandoned me, the Journal reported Kakugawa as saying. ABC News caught up with Kakugawa, and he told the same story about Obama's alienation at Punahou. Everybody said they always saw Obama smiling and happy. I didn't, Kakugawa told ABC. I got to see the turmoil. I got to see how he really felt. Here's a kid who was growing up as an adolescent in a tough situation. He felt abandoned, and he felt his father abandoned him, and his mother was always pursuing her career. If Obama did not voice as much racial alienation with Kakugawa as he claims in the autobiography, perhaps their relationship was focused on drugs, a problem Kakugawa seems unable to shake even today. I blew a few smoke rings remembering those years, Obama wrote in a now famous sentence, reflecting on his college days at Occidental. Pot had helped, and booze. Maybe a little blow when you could afford it. Why Obama chose to disclose he smoked marijuana and used cocaine at all remains a mystery. Perhaps Obama felt the information would eventually come forward from his school buddies. So to minimize the damage from this concealed fact, Obama possibly judged self-disclosure was the best route. In making this disclosure, he is quick to note he stopped short of using smack, heroin. Obama says he backed off from heroin when Mickey, probably another invented name, pulled out the needle and the tubing. Obama explains his revulsion by claiming, I looked at him standing there, surrounded by big slabs of salami and roast beef, and right then an image popped into my head of an air bubble, shiny and round like a pearl, rolling quietly through a vein and stopping my heart. Still, Obama has yet to answer questions whether he ever dealt drugs or if he stopped using marijuana and cocaine completely in college or whether his drug usage extended into his law school days or beyond. Did Obama ever used drugs in his days as a community organizer in Chicago? Or when he was a state senator from Illinois? How about in the U.S. Senate? If Obama quit using drugs, the public inquiry certain to occur in a general election campaign for the presidency will most certainly aim at the when, how, and why. Questions George W. Bush successfully avoided. In the autobiography, however, Obama links drug use with his blackness. He writes, "Junkie, pothead. That's where I'd been headed. The final fatal role of the young would-be black man." Had any white author written these words, they would have been hounded as a racist. But Obama doesn't stop here. In the next few sentences, he links his drug use to his search for identity. He denies the highs had been about me trying to prove what a down brother I was, arguing instead, I got high for just the opposite effect, something that could push questions of who I was out of my mind, something that could flatten out the landscape of my heart, blur the edges of my memory. Blackness, identity crisis, and drugs. The trio went together for Obama, at least according to his autobiography. In passage after passage, Barry Obama uses the invented character of Ray to experience repeated acts of racial insult and engage in countless talks where they share black anger at the perceived insults and other affronts Obama feels they have suffered. Conservative columnist Ann Coulter has described Obama's Dreams from My Father as a dime store Mein Kampf, in which nearly every page, save the ones dedicated to cataloging the